comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It's a great day. And, you know, I say that about just about nearly every day. It's a great day. And sometimes people ask me, how can you say that about every day? Well, just consider this. You did wake up on the top side of the dirt today. That makes it a great day. You get to fill in the blanks for the rest of the day, but it started off great, didn't it? All right, those of you who are joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here, and I think you're going to be delighted that you showed up as well. If it's your very, very first time to be here at the Kevin Smith Show, you need to know that we have a free weekly newsletter for you. It is called the K-Files E-Zine. It comes through your email. And we only send it to people that subscribe, all right? So you to do that, you go over to my website, and that's kevinsmithshow.com, and click where it says K-Files E-Zine and subscribe. You're going to get a confirmation email, and it will have a link in it. You have to click that link in order to activate your subscription. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to, and we never, never, never share our email list with anybody. We don't rent it out, lease it, sell it, loan it. We don't share it, okay? You know, we have a members area. Now, to listen to this show live is free, but we have a members area where we've got a lot of stuff, and as I promised, we are adding more stuff all the time, and today we activated the Video Galaxy. It's a video gallery, but, you know, we anticipate it will become very, very large. And so we went ahead and named it Video Galaxy. And there's just a handful of videos in it right now, but it will grow. And if you have a video that you shot the video or you own the copyright to that video, then you can send it to us if you want us to put it in the Video Galaxy, and we will do so. Of course, quite naturally, we're not looking for your vacation pictures unless there are UFOs and aliens in it. But I will tell you this, and we're also, you can't send us a video that's, you know, adult material. But I will tell you this, anything that is strange or paranormal, send it along to us, and we will, in fact, be delighted to include your video in the Video Galaxy. Now, also, yeah, one other thing for members. Almost forgot this. We got to get this in. For those of you who are members, if you are an annual member, in other words, you paid your $75 for the year, you bought an annual membership. And by the way, some have purchased more than an annual membership. Some have purchased like 2 or 3 years worth. And that's great. But if you have, you need to send me an email with your mailing address if you want me to send you our new super pack with the 10 blockbuster shows on one CD. If you want that, you've paid for your annual membership, you get it free, and we're not even charging you shipping and handling, all right? So send me that information, and we'll take care of it. All right, boys and girls, my guest this evening is Nick Margarison, and we shall return in just a moment with Nick Margarison. Don't go away.
Without you.
most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Thousands of brave young men and women have returned from the war. Many of whom have suffered devastating injuries and made a supreme sacrifice for our freedom. You can help these American heroes, and we really do hold the keys to change the future in your hands. Fans for Vet is an action organization that acquires dual-use vehicles by donation, motorhomes, and sometimes even boats for placement with disabled and homeless veterans. We make necessary repairs to the vehicle, we fit it with handicap assistance hardware, driving controls, wheelchair ramps, and then we give these vehicles to the disabled veteran or the homeless veteran free of charge. You can change a life and show your appreciation by donating the vehicle that you no longer need to. VansforVets.org. Please contact us at www.VansforVets.org. Thank you and God bless America.
10, 9.
Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
In the galaxy.
All right, we are back, and on the line with me is my guest this evening. I pronounced his name incorrectly, as you would expect me to. I said Nick Margarison. It's Margarison. And he's on the line with me all the way from the UK, where it is, I think, somewhere around 3 a.m. Am I correct, Nick?
Yeah, that's right. We've just come off air doing the show here in the UK.
All right. Now, you do a show, you host a show called The Night Before, correct?
Yeah, that's right. The Night Before is on Kerrang Radio, and it's a sort of a mixture of talk and music, and we've been doing it for just under a year now.
Well, I have to tell you, Nick, you have you and your show have set the world ablaze with a little bit of news, and I want to congratulate you for that. Good show. Good job. Well done.
Yeah, we had Dr. Edgar Mitchell on, sixth man to walk on the moon, and we had him on. We had him on for an hour. We did an interview with him that lasted for about an hour, and he came out with some absolutely unbelievable information about UFOs. But the interview itself originally wasn't it wasn't planned to be about UFOs. It was about the fact this guy walked on the moon, which is, you know, an incredible feat, really.
Well, yeah, it's you know, something I probably won't do. So probably you will not do. Although if Richard Branson keeps going the way he has, who knows? We may all get the chance.
Yeah, that's apparently going to be the case. We've had people on this show talking. I think it was Space Adventures talking about how it may soon be possible for yourself and all the people listening to this to, you know, go on the moon for a bit of fun. As on a little holiday, that'd be quite nice, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would be. And of course, you know, I would have to fly economy class because that would only be about 40 million. But I doubt I will ever get to do it. But, my admiration goes to Branson and others who have taken hold of this and said, you know, this is not sci-fi stuff. We can do it, and they're doing it.
Well, it's interesting. I was talking to one of your countrymen about the idea of a space elevator recently on the show, which apparently would be a relatively cheap way of doing it. And he's talking about this idea of building a space elevator that would actually go into the orbit, you know, it would sustain itself off into the orbit of the Earth, where you would be able to go up there. But unbelievably, it has opposition from people who think it would be the next Tower of Babel. I don't know if you're aware of that in the Bible, the Tower
of Babel. I'm aware of that story. I was not aware that it was being used as opposition to a space elevator.
Yeah. It's bizarre. Listen, we got Dr. Edgar Mitchell on the show. He came on ostensibly to talk about going on the moon, and he came out with some absolutely stunning revelations about on the subject of UFOs. Basically, he told us that he believed there was life throughout the universe. He wasn't sure which planet currently UFOs are coming from, and that basically this thing's being covered up by governments, my government, your government, and the governments of the world. It was an unbelievable piece of information for him to come out with. Just during a sort of a very relaxed conversation, suddenly he's laying all this information on the line, going on record with it all in a way that I'd never heard before, Kevin. It was unbelievable.
Well, you know, it's sort of funny, because in the aftermath of that show, of course, NASA became defensive and said, we know nothing about this and we disagree with his opinion, although we have the greatest respect for him. That was their response to you. I'll let you talk about that here in just a moment. But also, he was interviewed finally by an ABC affiliate here in the United States, and he said that, and this is a quote, he said, I've been saying the same damn thing for the past 10 years, and suddenly I'm world news. But it's not exactly that, because I have followed the things that he said, and I have done shows where we dealt with things that he said in public speeches. And he, in public speeches, has gotten, shall we say, he's gotten his toes right up next to the line, but he never crossed it. And he never was blatant and in your face with the information as he was when he was on your show. But he has said things that were close. They were close, but not quite as I say, in your face. And then he said something that I thought was really excellent, and he said, you know, you guys, the news media, he said, you know, you don't want to report on it. There's too much chuckle factor in it. And he said, but the people, the scientists and the researchers who are working with this information know that it's real. And I thought that was just a super excellent response to the American press. How has the press dealt with this in the UK, with this interview?
This interview specifically was all over every single national paper here in the United Kingdom. It's a strange thing because, you know, I want to get my cards out on this. I don't know that I necessarily believe in UFOs or aliens or all that kind of stuff. And the sort of show that we do here on Kerrang Radio is a mixed show. We talk about a lot of different things. We cover a lot of different subjects. But we do cover the kind of the esoteric stuff. And just prior, not long before having Edgar Mitchell on, we had a guy called Stuart Swerdlow, who I don't know if guys will have heard of. Okay, well, we had Stuart Swerdlow on, and he was talking about something called Project Bluebeam. And he was talking to us about it, and you know, he's a good friend of the show, and we were chatting to him about it both on air and off air. And he was saying that he believed there was something called imprinting happening. where across the world people were being prepared for disclosure, for the revelation that UFOs exist. And it was interesting talking to Stuart Swerdlow and another guy who's also a friend of the show called David Icke, who he's one of our people here from the UK. I don't know if you're aware of him.
Oh, yeah, I think the Earth is aware of David Icke. Everybody knows him.
Yeah, he's got some... Listen, I'm kind of a fan of his, and and he's sort of a hero of mine. But again, that's not to say that I necessarily believe in or agree with the stuff that he says, but I'm certainly aware of his work. And certainly this idea that imprinting was happening here in the UK is something we were kicking about on the show. The editorial direction of most of the national newspapers has changed as regards reporting on UFOs. And some of our guests had suggested that we were being, you know, put towards disclosure. And perhaps what happened with this interview is we lit the bonfire a little early there. Because it seemed to me that once we hit the press with this story, they were all ready to go on it, and every national newspaper jumped on it. Now, it is a huge story, and what he'd said was incredible, and it's very significant. But it's quite unusual, as you all know, for the media to go for a story like this. But sure enough, it spread across all of the national papers and then hit the global news media outlets. And it's unbelievable. I mean, we've been fielding calls from all over the world about this particular story. And like I say, I don't know necessarily which viewpoint I subscribe to, but certainly some of those ideas that maybe people are being prepared for disclosure, I think the success of this story probably suggests that that's true, that we are being prepared for something.
Well, I'll tell you this. We have dealt with the possibility of that very thing, that we are being, I think you used the term, imprinted, that we're being prepared for disclosure. We've dealt with that on this show several times, and I have sufficient evidence for me to say that I think that is precisely what's going on. I can't say that I know that, but I can say I have enough evidence, I have seen enough evidence and heard enough for me to say that I think that is what's happening. But you also should know this, and I'm sure you are aware of it. The media in the United States of America is one of the lamest institutions calling itself media in the entire world. And they are pablum feeders. They feed us pablum. If we want to know what's going on in the world, we have to get on the internet and get news from somewhere else, not from inside the USA. Now, while your show, while your interview was taking place with Edgar Mitchell, some of your listeners are also people that listen to this show, and I started getting telephone calls, and I had a telephone call in particular from one young man who said, "Man, it's on right now. Here's what's going on. I'll keep you updated." And so I was getting reports about the show while you were doing the show, and a little bit later I went on the air, and I told our audience about it. And I said, it will be interesting to see, ladies and gentlemen, how long it takes for the American press to start reporting this and to see how they start reporting it. It was 48 hours before it started going into major media here. 48 hours. And then some of that reporting was the chuckle factor, ridiculous nonsense reporting. And, you know, here's a guy who is one of the true heavyweights on this planet, has a PhD from one of the most prestigious universities in the United States of America in engineering, has served this country for years as a pilot in the Navy, high-ranking retired naval officer. Stood on the moon, and not only was he the sixth man to stand on the moon, he stood on that moon longer than anybody else has. He holds that record. And when someone like that says, look, here's the deal. extraterrestrials have been visiting this planet. Our government knows it, and they've been covering it up. If it was me saying that, Nick, there would be a lot of room for chuckle. But when you've got someone like Edgar Mitchell saying it, I see no room for chuckle at all.
I thought, well, this is the interesting thing about it. Like I say, I don't want people to misunderstand how this interview came about. We were talking about him going to the moon. It was the film The Shadow, In the Shadow of the Moon, I think it's called. Brilliant film that was recently about the moon landings. And I watched that and I thought, man, it's incredible that we've got people still living on this planet who've had that experience, and, you know, we should certainly talk to someone. So we did that. UFOs is, you know, is a subject that we cover on this show. And when Dr. Mitchell, you know, basically went on record with that stuff, I knew it was big. I mean, you can hear me in the clip. I don't know if you've heard the clip yet.
Yeah, I have.
Well, you know, in that clip, man, I couldn't believe what I had here. I couldn't believe what he was saying. And the first thing I thought is, don't put him off. Just let him talk. And I knew it was big, and I knew it was dynamite. So what we did, without giving too much away, I said on air, we have an announcement. It's huge. We've got to disclose some incredible information here, and it's going to be coming out in the next few days. And then we mounted up as many of the sort of hardcore listeners to the show as we could to basically get in touch with our contacts, and obviously the work that you did, the work that a few other shows that we're in touch with. We said, you know, there's something big here, and it's going to be worth people listening to. And then we mounted up towards that over the days coming up, and then when we hit it as hard as we could, and we tried on air to make the point that you're making, that this is a form of disclosure. You know, this guy, I mean, we had a guy called Nick Pope on. Nick Pope was brilliant. He, you know, his quote was that this is dynamite. You know, the world should sit up and listen to this. And we pushed as hard as we possibly could to make as many people sit up and pay attention to this as possible. That's one of the reasons that I'm on this show. I mean, listen, you know, I'm not selling a book. You know, you aren't paying me for this. I'm here to encourage people to lobby now, in the face of what's happened across the world, lobby their authority figure for full disclosure. So on my show, I've been calling on the Queen of England to comment on this story, to come out and tell us, you know, is there any truth in this? There's a huge establishment figure who's put his neck on the line with this information. I doubt he'll do it again, looking at the other interviews that he's done. I don't think he'll be as forthcoming in the future. So I'm calling on the Queen of England, Gordon Brown, our Prime Minister, to comment on this story. I want you and the people that listen to your show to do exactly the same. You know, to call upon, I mean, I don't know, I think, are you a religious guy?
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, I've talked to some people, been on some shows where the presenters are religious, and they've promised to call upon the Pope to actually, you know, respond to this. Maybe you could call on George Bush to respond to this. But the absolute highest level, I want those people now, in the face of this massive global media coverage on this story, to actually come out and say, is there a cover-up or is there not? And do you know what? If Gordon Brown or the Queen comes along and says that there isn't, that's fine. I'll shut up and I'll carry on doing what I'm doing, you know, on the radio show that we do here. But, you know, I want some sort of response.
Well, I'll tell you this. You are speaking right now to some of the top leaders in the United States of America. They listen. And they will not call in. They will not make comments. But I have reason to know that some of the top leaders in this country are listening. And so I think it is important for them to understand that you just got to think about this, ladies and gentlemen of the government. No matter what you do to try and put a lid on this Edgar Mitchell story, it ain't happening. The public won't buy it. The public has run past all the cover stories. We believe Edgar Mitchell. We have no reason not to think that he told us the truth. And so, you know, as far as putting a lid on this story, it's over. And the best thing to do at this point is to just go ahead and tell us the truth.
Well, I think, I mean, you know, this is the place I'm coming from is, I mean, I don't know whether or not aliens are real or if UFOs are real or anything like that. It's something I'm certainly interested in, but I can't say either way. Certainly when I spoke to Dr. Mitchell during that conversation and certainly for a good few days afterwards, I was convinced that, you know, that it's the case that aliens and UFOs and the whole phenomenon is real. I don't know. I like to keep an open mind either way. It could be the case that there ain't no cover-up. But do you know what? I'm quite surprised, actually, that there hasn't been some sort of official comment on this. The only organization that has officially commented on it is NASA. Now, we've approached the other sort of organizations that you would ordinarily approach with a story like this, and they haven't come back with any sort of response. And I imagine that's the chuckle factor you refer to, because some people are worried about being laughed at. But when a guy of such standing as Edgar Mitchell is prepared to go on record with this kind of thing, I think the chuckle factor needs to be thrown aside, because I'll quote you Fox News, the story of the century. That's what this is. It's so significant that, you know, it stops everything else in its tracks. So really it is the case that, you know, anybody who is listening to the show at the moment who has the power to influence, you know, the powers that be in making a statement about this, they need to come forward. They need to actually make that happen. Because if they don't, what happens, in my opinion, and I'm sure you'll back me up on this, Kevin, is you unlock a tsunami of possibilities. You know, if there isn't an official line on this, then potentially every other line that's open to us could be the case. You know, I mentioned Project Bluebeam. You know, any of your listeners can go and Google that. I imagine they'll be literate on that anyway.
I hate to do it. We have to take a break. We'll continue, though,
right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, it's never dull here, is it? We'll be back.
Don't groove it.
Welcome back. My guest is Nick Margerison. Did I say your name correctly that time, Nick?
Yeah, I think you did. But like I say, I mean, we've heard it said so many different ways since the Edgar Mitchell interview that I'm quite fine with however you want to say it.
Okay. So when the break took over, you were talking about how the press had treated all of this and what we need to do to push forward. I don't want to interrupt your train of thought any more than that. I'll give you the opportunity to finish what you were saying.
Yeah, like I say, basically what I've done here in the UK is, I said more than a few occasions on the show, that what I want is for people power to take over as far as disclosure goes. I think the time has come for people to say to whoever their authority figure is, so whoever it is who represents them or claims to represent them, I think it's time to, you know, basically say to that person, you know, is there a cover-up or is there not? I mean, I've called on my show for the Queen of England. I've called on my show for Gordon Brown, that's our Prime Minister, to comment upon this story, a story that's gone worldwide, one of the biggest stories on the subject, on the whole history of UFOlogy, to spread across the world, and it's huge. And their silence opens up a tsunami of possibilities on what exactly is going on with this stuff. I mean, my email address has now become a magnet for all sorts of theories and ideas as to what is exactly going on in the UFO world and the UFO phenomena, what exactly it means. We've got emails from people as far afield as India, Australia, China, Russia. We've had to use a Google Translator thing to actually understand what some of these things are saying. And the testimony that's in there suggests to me that something is happening, although I can't 100% commit to that premise because I don't have the time to research all of this. Yet when we turn to people like yourself and other contacts we have in America, respected people who do have the time to fully investigate this kind of stuff, it looks like these witnesses, this testimony evidence actually suggests that there is something tangible happening here. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of a guy called Terence McKenna. He's one of your fellow countrymen, I think. And he once spoke about how the UFO phenomena seems to have, as part of it, something that goes along with the story, is that it makes people less credible. You know, part of the UFO experience seems to subtract credibility from the story. It's an intrinsic part of it. And certainly we've had people who've contacted my email address who claim to have been abducted, spoken to by these alien beings, and that use of telepathy that we often hear about, they claim that it's damaged their brain, and that subtracts credibility from their testimony because now they, they're injured from the experience. So what I'm saying is that, the powers that be need to actually take this in hand and look into it officially. I mean, I don't know what people who are listening to you and I talking will think of that point of view, because some people don't trust the powers that be. But I've no reason personally to have that fear just yet.
Well, I agree with what you're saying, but I would add two things. My particular twist on it goes like this. First of all, they don't need to look into it. They already have, and they know exactly, precisely, what's going on and who or what is behind it all. They've had the past 60 years to investigate it, and they have mountains of information. They already know. This is why if we call and we ask NASA about UFOs, they'll say they have no investigation of UFOs, they're not interested in UFOs, etc. Because, you see, that's not what they call them. They're not unidentified to them. They are fast walkers. That's the way they refer to them. However, that's just one side of the twist, is that they already know. And so I don't think they need to look into it. I don't think there needs to be hearings or investigations. There needs to be disclosure. All right. Now, the second part of that goes like this. Those of you who have listened to this show for some time, you've visited my site, you've clicked on the link and watched the video that says, it's my video that I made in East Timor, and the title of it is, Do You Believe in UFOs? Flatulent Minds Want to Know. And the reason I say that is because it doesn't call upon us to believe. There is nothing to believe. They either exist or they don't. Now, when we look at the evidence to see if they exist, let's see. There are literally hundreds of miles of footage and photographs of these things in the sky. And there are literally miles of that footage that was shot by Navy and Air Force and Army pilots, commercial airline pilots, people who know when they're in the air what they're looking at in the air. And, you know, so when they say there's no hard evidence, yes, there is. If I have a video from a security camera that shows an attacker killing someone in the parking lot of a store, and I take that to court, do you think that video is going to be accepted as evidence in court? Yes, it will be. And will the attacker be convicted? Absolutely. And yet that's not, it's good enough evidence to put someone away for life, or in this country, for them to get the death penalty. It's good enough evidence for that, but it's not good enough evidence when we're talking about UFOs. Hogwash. That's nonsense.
Yeah, that's right.
And so as far as I'm concerned, the debate's over. There is no debate about do they exist. They exist. And, you know, it doesn't call on us to believe anything. The evidence is in, and it's done. It's like asking someone if they believe in doorknobs. Do you believe in doorknobs? Well, why would I believe in doorknobs? I see them everywhere. I don't need to believe. I see them. And I think that the debate is over.
Well, the difficulty that I have here in the UK is we have difficult broadcasting laws, but my take on it, I'm trying to be as clear as possible, certainly for your audience and for my audience. What I'm saying is that we should have some sort of official response to this stuff. I mean, me personally, I'm on record as saying I've never seen a UFO, I've never experienced any phenomena like that, but I have spoken to a lot of people that have. Let me tell you something that really got me into this UFO stuff, though, and that is an experience with the legal system and with a guy who has a very interesting story to tell, you may be aware of. His name's Gary McKinnon.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're aware of him. Yeah, I guess your audience will be. In the UK, not a very high-profile case, believe it or not. But Gary McKinnon is a guy who we interviewed on the show. I couldn't believe the story that he told me. I mean, he'd been researching UFOs and researching this kind of technology and researching zero-point energy. And he was inspired by another guy we've had on called Dr. Stephen Greer. And the thing that struck me about the Gary McKinnon case is that here's a guy who claims that he has hacked into your government's top computer files, and your government agrees that that happened. However, the difference is that your government wants to lock him up, and he says that he found evidence of UFOs. Now, the reason that I got drawn in to all of this is because, you know, here was a guy who, when I spoke to him, he was a nice enough chap, harmless enough chap, you know, a normal guy. And yet, he was at the center of this huge legal case, the result of which is still pending, and it's not something we can comment on too much here in the UK because of the way UK law works. But here was a guy who was talking about zero-point energy and was getting into trouble. And this is a regular theme with the guests that we've had on this show. The ones that talk about zero-point energy seem to be the ones that get into trouble. And, I mean, I, you know, with that kind of stuff, when you're talking about the idea that, you know, UFOs don't fly on petrol, and so that makes them incredibly useful in that, you know, if we could all have that, we could end a lot of the world's problems. That's something that concerned me, that he was, of all the UFO guests that we were getting on, he was the one that seemed to be in the most trouble, and yet he was a guy who, you know, didn't seem that dangerous to me when I spoke to him.
Well, of course, the whole topic of zero-point energy, I mean, people having problems over that topic go all the way back to Nikola Tesla. Once he started bumping into that and trying to get some attention and you know, get it marketed, his career was pretty much over. And and he died, you know, and he died in poverty as a result of it.
We've had people on who followed up Nikola Tesla's work again on the show, and this is kind of the midnight guests that we get on, you know, the slightly more esoteric ones, and we've had people talking about the work of Nikola Tesla. We've even had scientists on the show who have been looking into the work of Nikola Tesla and have had their laboratories destroyed. Now, when you talk about that kind of stuff, you get a bit of heat from people, and that's what drew me into all of this. You know, now I need to contextualize this. I'm not a, you know, a cutting edge journalist or anything like that. I'm a guy who was, you know, doing a talk show, a late night talk show, you know, taking calls, talking about stuff, getting guests on, and some of the guests are hot. And what I mean by hot is that they're getting into trouble, and they're getting into trouble for stuff that most people wouldn't think you can get into trouble for. Gary McKinnon's one of them, and, yeah, people who've looked into Nikola Tesla's another one. And
well, yeah, but, I mean, with Gary McKinnon, I mean, come on, you got to expect, if you get caught breaking into any government's computer, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, fair enough, but, I mean, I think probably it should be the case that if he is in trouble, he should be in trouble in this country. I think the idea of extraditing him over to America, I mean, that's quite a terrifying thought, you know, simply because, I mean, you guys have the death penalty over there. And that's
he would, nah. The death penalty is reserved for capital murder cases.
Well,
and for treason.
I mean,
yeah, he doesn't face the death penalty. But I will tell you this. I think he does face a possibility of way, way more time in prison than is reasonable.
Mm. Well, my basic, like I say, this is not something we can really discuss in the UK on my show at the moment because there's a case pending. Mm. But my own personal opinion on that is that if you commit a crime in this country, you should be punished in this country. And if you look into the detail on that case, you know, you can look at our Home Secretary, David Blunkett. He actually, in secret, set up the extradition laws on that. I mean, it's a shocking case the more you look into it. And like I say, it's one of those things where you think, why is it the case that this is so important? Because remember, if you refer back to what we were saying right at the beginning of this hour, we're talking about something that has the chuckle factor associated to it.
Yeah.
Okay, in that case, why are we, you know, why are we so keen to get this guy over into your country? I mean, listen, I attended this guy's appeal at the House of Lords, and I went down to the House of Lords, I sat there, and I listened to those guys, very serious people at the House of Lords, and it was a fascinating case to watch. But you know what? The subject of UFOs didn't really come up. You know, it was all a lot of legal technicalities, and the actual subject for which, you know, the whole case revolves around didn't even get mentioned, particularly by the powers that be. I mean, that kind of stuff scares me personally. And
well, see, the deal is our government is not going to admit that there was information in those computers about UFOs. They're not going to admit that. And so they're going to focus simply on the fact that he broke into our computers. And that's, they're never going to talk about the other deal. But I want to talk about it a little bit more when we come back from this break.
We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this.
We'll be right back.
All right, we are back.
And my guest this evening is Nick Margerison. He is the talk show. Well, it's not just a talk show. It's talk and music. But he is the show's host, the show called The Night Before, broadcast from the UK. I suppose from London, am I correct?
No, actually, we're in Birmingham. Birmingham is the UK's second city, and it's right in the middle of England, so that's where we are at the moment.
All right, and I said that I wanted to get into a little bit more of the UFO thing that Gary McKinnon talked about. We saw slight reports of what he said, and I mean slight. There were not a lot of details, but he says that he saw information about what he interpreted to be a U.S. space fleet. Now, when you talked with him, did he talk about that?
Well, I'm always very wary. I try not to speak on other people's behalves. We do, let me think, I think we've put some of his interviews, we've interviewed him twice, and I think we've put them onto the podcast that we do, which people can find on iTunes, and that's free. But he did go into some detail about it, but like I say, I'm nervous because simply because his court hearing is, you know, we're awaiting the result of that.
Yeah, fair enough. And, you know, that would, here in the U.S., anything that he's already said publicly is fair game, but I can understand and respect your laws there.
It's just one of those things where, like I say, we've talked to this guy, and he's kind of, I feel nervous about the outcome of that, because I think it's a story that, like I say, that's what drew me in really seriously into the UFO stuff and made me think there was something in it, because here you've got, you know, the world's superpower trying to get a guy who, man, you know, we've sat and chatted to him both on air and off air, and he's just a really nice all-round guy. I can't say a bad word about him. He's just been nice in every single respect, and it's unbelievable to have, you know, a whole superpower trying to get hold of him, and the information that he says that he's that he found there. Although, as I understand it, he has no copies of that information. He has no hard copies of it.
Well, what's the next step in the Gary McKinnon case? I mean, I was under the impression that once it went to the House of Lords, that was his final appeal, that there was no other place to go. Is there yet another step that he can take?
Well, as I understand it, the European Court of Human Rights may have something to say about it, but like I say, it's something that we're waiting. They're waiting for a result on that, and as soon as that result comes out, I will be on the airwaves talking about it, whether it's a favourable or not so favourable result. I mean, the strange thing about this is, listen, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, believe it or not. I don't know that I necessarily think there is any sort of big conspiracy about any of this stuff. But if any of it is true and there is a big conspiracy going on, they definitely know about our show. There's no getting around that, and that will have been the case for a while. So what I'm doing at the moment with things like Gary McKinnon, then with things like you know, Dr. Stephen Greer and other people, is we're trying to shine the spotlight of publicity on it, because I'm a big believer that if people know about these things, it will change the way that not only that they're reported, but the way that they're dealt with. And that's, like I say, that's one of the reasons I wanted to come on to your show and get not just you, but your listeners, the people who are listening to the show, to spread the word that the time has come for a change, and that now it's the case that people need to actually step out into the open. I felt like that was what Dr. Mitchell decided to do, and I also feel there are other people who I can't name who want to go on the record with information about UFOs and about this kind of stuff. But I might be wrong. I'm no expert on this stuff. Like I say, this is just something that I've kind of fallen into just by the quirk of some of the guests that we've had on.
Well, I can fully understand that. There are times when we have a guest on that the interview goes a whole different direction than what I had thought it would. And, you know, I sort of fall into a new arena. as a result of that. And it's a little bit unsettling when it happens for me. What about for you? I mean, I'm very glad for the information, but it is a little bit unsettling at the time.
Well, I mean, there's some things that we've spoken about that will remain off air. I mean, not me and you, but certainly there's some guests that we've had on with stuff that we've spoken about that will remain off air for the moment because we need to verify it. But yeah, once you start digging around these subjects, the question becomes how deep and how far does the rabbit hole go? You know, I mean, I had a conversation. I don't know what the rules are over in your country. Are you allowed to mention other radio show hosts?
Oh, it depends on the host of the show you're on, and I am not nervous about it.
Right.
It's okay. Go ahead.
Okay, I had a conversation with a guy called Alex Jones, and he's reasonably well-known, I think, in your country, and certainly we've had him on as a guest occasionally on our show. And the conversation ended up being, how far does the rabbit hole go? I mean, UFOs ties into a load of other subjects, which become unnerving. I mean, there's the subject of HAARP, which I don't know if you guys have covered that.
I've had one of its designers, in fact, two of its designers on the show.
It's unnerving, the things that people say about that. Like I say, I'm not able to comment on it because I don't know, you know, which parts of that are true and which parts aren't. But HAARP is something that has unnerved me. Then, of course, you know, there's David Icke that I mentioned before. Some of the stuff that he talks about becomes unnerving. What's interesting about the Dr. Mitchell comments that we got is that one of the first things that he clarifies as he talks about the fact that he thinks there is life throughout the universe is he says that he's not sure which planet these UFOs are coming from. Now, this ties in with a very prominent theory that they're actually coming from this planet, you know, from within the planet. I mean, you know, caverns, there's a hollow earth theory, which I don't know how credible that is. But it's interesting to think that someone like Dr. Mitchell, when he comments on the UFO story, he doesn't have a planet that these UFOs are coming from. And certainly there are a lot of people in that field, in the field of UFO studies, who claim that these things are either coming from another dimension or are coming from the future. You know, I mean, it kind of becomes, like I say, you start unpeeling this onion, and in the end, you got so many layers, so many different stories that, you know, you don't know what to believe. And that's why I've been saying that the powers that be need to make some sort of statement on this, because otherwise they really are unlocking a tsunami of potential ideas which have been tacitly backed up by Dr. Mitchell and his comments, the original comments which he came out with on my show. And I would recommend to people that they go back to the original source material, that original interview, because some of the interviews that have happened afterwards, in my opinion, some of them have been hit pieces designed to discredit a great American and some of the stuff that he said. And other interviews that he's given, you know, it seems like maybe some of the response to the information he gave out has startled him a little bit. So like I say, I would advise that people go back to the original source material because the possibilities and the ideas that it opens up are staggering.
Well, I guess it could be a little bit startling to Dr. Mitchell. Because he is normally treated as a hero and a heavyweight with tremendous credibility. And I guess it could be a little bit startling for him, but he should not be. He should not be startled that if the cover-up exists, as he says, he should not be startled that they will do things to continue the cover-up. And he should know that to ridicule has been one of the best tools that has been used by those who are doing the cover-up. They've been using it now for 50 or 60 years. It would be a new experience for him to not be taken as credible. And I can understand that. But I'll tell you, I got an email just a few minutes ago. I read it when we were in the break. I'm going to, during the next break, read the link that's in the email. But the email tells me that apparently Dr. Mitchell has now been interrogated like a criminal. Now, I don't know if that's true. I'm going to read that during the next break, and we will see. But I had not heard that. Had you heard it?
Well, we've been monitoring the coverage of this. I mean, you know, Kerrang's part of a large company, and, you know, we certainly have kept track of the information as it's been fed out the different media outlets. And I'll be honest with you, I think some of the people who are in your country really need to hang their head in shame. The way they've treated this great American, I mean, it is staggering to me. And what I would say, I don't know how much time I've got before we go into a break or something.
We've got 20 seconds.
Okay, well, listen, here's what I think. The people that are listening to your show who see that kind of bad journalism happening, track the journalist, email them, and, you know, remonstrate them.
Absolutely. And that's something that we recommend often on this show, and it has had an impact on several newspapers and several television outlets in the past. It does make a difference. All right,
we're into a break. We'll be back right after this.
Total mess. Without you, I found a crash. Drinking.
All right, we are back, and
we are into our second hour. Let me say to those of you who are just now joining us in this second hour that you have missed an absolutely fabulous first hour. Don't do that again. That's a bad habit. All right, now, we're going to take your telephone calls. If you have comments or questions for Nick, we'll let you talk with him, but I want to give you the telephone number, all right? The telephone number, for those of you who do not know it, is 1-623-581-5148. It is now appearing on your screen for those of you who are watching our live video feed, all right? 1-623-581-5148. Nick, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, hello. It's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario, Canada.
All right. Now, let me just make sure, because we have an international telephone link. Nick, can you hear him?
Yeah, I can hear him. How's it going? You all right?
Yes, I'm doing all right. First off, Kevin, did you see AlienSecretNews.com's new look? Have you seen it yet?
I have to confess, I saw it before anybody else did.
Oh, right on. Yeah,
yeah, he sent me a link to it a couple of weeks ago when he was just beginning to get it into shape and looking forward to deploying it. I got a chance to take a look at it. It's pretty outstanding.
Oh, right on. Yeah, so, Nick, yeah, if you want to check out a good site, AlienSecretNews.com is a good one. One thing, what was I going to ask? I go off talking about something else, and I forgot.
All right. Your train of thought has left the station.
Oh, of course, as usual. Anyway, so, Nick, what do you think about the fact that you may be actually be the one who actually was the catalyst for full disclosure, with especially with Edgar Mitchell coming out with the information that he came out with? And you just may, Nick Majerison may be the one that started it all with bringing on Edgar Mitchell and, opening the floodgates for disclosure.
Yeah, it'd be nice to be mentioned in the footnotes when they write the history of how disclosure actually happened. It's a strange thing, like I was saying to Kevin before. We were conscious of the fact that the editorial direction as regards UFO stories had changed, and when we actually hit the news media with this story, sent out the press releases and the audio, all of the audio is available to any media outlet, incidentally. When we hit it as hard as we did, we suspected it might be big, because we've had people certainly saying that, that it's happening, that people are mounting up towards it.
Yeah. Do you think it's bigger than you anticipated that it would be, or is it about where you thought it would be?
Oh, listen, it's much, much bigger than we ever anticipated. We thought probably it would be in all the national papers in the UK. We had no way of knowing that it would cover the whole of the world. I mean, what's interesting is that one of the things you have to bear in mind is that I really am not a conspiracy theorist. I'm aware of this kind of stuff, but I try and keep an open mind on both sides. So we were aware of the fact that Murdoch was promoting the X-Files film, and as a consequence, these kind of stories were being covered in Australia and in America and in the UK. We were conscious of that. We were also conscious of how the news media works in the UK, and to a certain extent we played that, and we've hit stories like this before in the past. So we were conscious that it would probably be big. Also, as I mentioned earlier on, Kevin, I know you were part of this, and certainly some of our other contacts in America, we were pushing for all of our contacts in America to try and make this hit the mainstream media. So we were conscious that it would be big, but we had no idea of the sheer size and the sheer scale of it. I mean,
it's not through growing yet. It's not through growing. It's going to go much bigger before it goes away.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I don't know. We've got, I'm actually in the studio at the moment. I've got some audio here of it being reported around the world. Do you want me to play this to you?
I do, but let's hold off for just a second and take this call first. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Eric from Atlanta, Georgia, IPIS.
Yes, Eric.
Kevin?
Doing great.
Good. Hello, Nick.
Hey, Eric, how's it going?
I just want to briefly commend you on the great interview you had with Edgar Mitchell. I was listening to it as it began, and I contacted Kevin Smith about it, actually.
Excellent.
I just wanted to mention that I've come into some information that one of the, I believe, contacts that Edgar Mitchell had or still has, I'm not sure, at the Pentagon is he's a U.S. Naval Reserve commander named Willard H. Miller, and he has been heavily involved, I guess, at the Pentagon with the UFO subject and briefings and whatnot. Mr. Stephen Greer, you mentioned him earlier. He actually supposedly briefed the head of the CIA in the 90s, James Woolsey. And they had, I guess, a private briefing at the Westin Hotel in D.C. in April of 1997. Now, I'm not sure if Edgar Mitchell was present at that briefing or not, but I just wanted to mention that. And one other thing is that I've got some information about a former NASA employee named Clark McClelland, who was fired for talking about UFOs, and they're actually taking his pension away from him.
Well, you've heard me say before, when people say, well, why don't these guys talk? You know, why are they keeping it secret? It's because we have elected people who have either passed laws in our name or have appointed people who have passed regulations in our name that have some really, genuinely draconian measures. If one of these people comes out and talks about what they have seen or what they know, in some cases they can be jailed. If they have military rank, they can lose their military rank, be dishonorably discharged, placed in prison, and lose all of their pension and compensation. Now we can sit back and say, well, we didn't do that, but in this country, yes, we did. It was done in our name by the people that we elect. So, yes, we did. And that's why they don't talk.
And they are doing this, though, behind closed doors, that's for sure. I mean,
well, now, let me ask you a question. You mentioned the name of a person in the Pentagon,
sure.
And you said you've come into this information. You say you have come into this information. Is this a rumor, or have you confirmed this information?
It's information on a website. I'm sure you're familiar with her, Leslie Keen.
Yeah.
As well as Richard Dolan.
All right.
I also contacted someone at the Disclosure Project, and they were able to confirm to me that the briefing with Stephen Greer and James Woolsey, and actually a representative by the name of Dan Burton, did take place in 1997 at the Westin Hotel.
Nick, did you have any questions for the caller?
Well, what I would like to say to him and the other people that are listening to the show who come across this kind of information is that my email address has become a magnet for a lot of information, some of which we're not going to broadcast. Dr. Mitchell did not name names on our show, and I didn't ask him to, largely because of Gary McKinnon and the people that we've come into contact with who've had difficulties when their names have been drawn into this dialogue. But what we're also doing, and certainly again this is something that if any of these sort of conspiracy theories are true, the powers that be know this, we're storing this information. It's all stored, and in the event that there is any sort of problem, there are people who know it who can certainly get it out there. So if he does want to email across to me, I don't know if he's already done that, but my email address is, am I allowed to read it out, Kevin?
Sure.
Okay, it's nick@kerrangradio.co.uk. So that's Nick, N-I-C-K, at Kerrang, K-E-R-R-A-N-G, radio, Kerrang Radio, all one word, .co.uk. And we're keeping some of this information. But like I say, do mark it if it's for broadcast, if it's not for broadcast. And we can't guarantee that we'll broadcast all of it because the laws in this country are very different to the laws in your country. We're certainly keeping it all, though.
All right, fair enough. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. The telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 1-623-581-5148. Now, you mentioned you had some audio that you wanted to share with us. Is this audio that has been cleared for rebroadcast?
Yeah, we're fine with that. It's basically something we've been playing on the station, and it's just a station ident, but it gives you some sense of the different countries where this story is being covered. It's only about 30 seconds long or so.
Yeah, let's go for it.
I'll play it. Okay.
Do you believe in life on other planets?
Dr. Edgar Mitchell says
there is a worldwide conspiracy to cover up...
Edgar Mitchell in a Roswell.
Edgar Mitchell is hitting the limelight.
Dr. Mitchell, 77 years old, was on a radio interview in Birmingham, England.
I mean, you realize this is the story of a century. I mean, that's better than a little bit of water on Mars.
The UFO phenomenon is real.
Whoa! Former NASA astronaut Edgar Mitchell... talking to the completely overwhelmed and astonished Nick Margerison on a little-known British station, Kerrang Radio.
That gives you an idea, if you heard that clearly, of all the different countries it's been broadcast in. I mean, we've been tracking the story. Like I say, we're quite a big media. Kerrang's connected to a big media outlet, and it's huge. The story's gone across the whole world.
Yeah, I like that statement, the little known.
Well, I guess
that's like this show. That, you know, I hear comments about this show from others in the industry, and, you know, they diminish or belittle the show a little bit. But go to MSN.com or Yahoo.com or Google.com. And type in UFO talk show and see what you see. little known. Let's go to the telephone. Yeah, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. This is Ryan up here in the Puget Sound area.
Good evening, Ryan.
Yeah. I'd make this real quick and short because I know there's a lot of callers that want to get in. But first I wanted to congratulate your guest, and I want to say that he's doing a great job. He's done a great service to not just us, but the whole world for breaking this story. You mentioned, Kevin, earlier that there possibly could be a lot of top leaders in this country that could be listening, and the one thing I wanted to say to them, if they are, is that as a normal American, as a person that has a 9-to-5 job, that is just a pretty average. I think that people like us will completely understand your situation, that you might not even have access to what the real information is kept so dark secret that not even we have to remember that several presidents have even tried to open up and get information, and they were even denied access. And Jimmy Carter, from what I heard, Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton were denied access to it. But anyways, my point is that if you can't get information from our government, try other governments. This is a world issue. This is not a country issue. This is a world issue. And I just wanted to say that people like Dr. Edgar Mitchell are welcome on this show. And one statement that he made that I think was pretty important also is that when he first started, he says, and I quote, there's more nonsense out there about this than is real. But it is a real phenomenon.
I think he's exactly right. That's exactly true.
That's important. If there's any leaders in this country or people, high extinguished people out there that want to get the information, if you run across some hoaxes or fakes or fake pictures and fake videos and stuff, to keep looking. Don't give up and don't quit because of that. Because there is a lot of bogus charlatanism out there that you have to kind of notice to kind of push out of the way. But there's a lot of truth out there. And Dr. Edgar Mitchell, That's about as truth as you can get. I mean, you can't get any. I mean, but you have to learn how to recognize the bad stuff. And
absolutely.
I just wanted to thank you guys for doing what you're doing.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. The telephone number is 1-623 521-5148. 623-581-5148. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Good.
I wanted to ask Nick if, with this country coming out with releasing a bunch of UFO files and stuff like that, maybe the environment there might be more conducive for like a global pushing of disclosure rather than our country, and how he feels about that.
Yeah, we've had a guy called Nick Pope on this show who used to work for the Ministry of Defense investigating UFOs, and you're right, the files at the moment are being released. I don't know if they're being released totally in their entirety. I mean, we've gone through them, and I am of the opinion that whatever it was that convinced Nick Pope that there was something in the UFO phenomena, that is yet to be released. As I understand it, these files are going to be released over the next 4 years, and I think there will be some very interesting information that either will or will not be released. Now, in this country, remember, here in the UK, we don't have the same sort of freedom of speech laws, and things like the Official Secrets Act bind people like Nick Pope, and I'm of the opinion that, you know, as the files are released, he will be an interesting person to watch the reaction of. I don't know if you guys are aware of Nick Pope.
He's been on this show several times. And as an example of what you're talking about with the difference in the laws about speech, he was not able, in talking about the Rendlesham Forest incident, he was not able to say anything about that being a place where there were nuclear weapons, you know, at the American base. I had no problem with saying that because it had been reported in the news here. Colonel Halt had talked about it on several television appearances and radio appearances here, and yet Nick could not talk about that, and because of the difference in the laws. And so there are some rather vast differences. And but let me ask you this. Now, we have the Freedom of Information Act, which tends at times when we're dealing with UFOs to be fairly useless. And nevertheless, we have it. Do you have something like that, a Freedom of Information Act, where maybe it's called something else, where you can file a document requesting information and get it from your government?
As I understand it, I think it's the same thing. I know that there was work done by another contact of ours, a magazine called The 14th Times, to push out this information on UFOs. But you know what? I do want to say something to the people that are listening to your show who are in America. You know, it's very fashionable, and I know you don't want to get into politics. I know that's something you don't do particularly on your show. But do you know what? There is something to be very proud of in your country. The laws about freedom of speech and the way that you are allowed to broadcast there. And, you know, people should be aware of that and should be proud of that. And they should use that as well. You know, they should try and get as much information as they can out onto the airwaves. I mean, we try and get as much information out as we can here in the UK. But like you say, you know, Nick Pope, for example, is bound by the Official Secrets Act. I mean, we're intending to do a podcast. We're in the process of recording it, which will be available across the world, which will put all of the information that we have as regards disclosure, all of the interviews that we've done, into one sort of, you know, unit, one show. And it'll include the interview where I am literally saying to Nick Pope, something changed your mind whilst you were working in the Ministry of Defense. You're bound by the Official Secrets Act, and that something that changed your mind, you're not allowed to talk about. And the words he uses are very interesting. He says things like, I can't say, and stuff like that. And when I get him in that position talking about that, he admits there is something that he can't talk about that changed his mind. And it's a fascinating interview. And like I say, you know, people in America should be proud of the freedom of speech laws that you have there.
Yeah, and, you know, I say all the time, you got to use it or you lose it. Our freedoms, particularly freedom of speech, is part of our Constitution, and so it's not something Congress can take away. And it's protected by, it's not granted by the Constitution, but it is protected by the Constitution. It is protected from Congress being able to do something to take it away. However, if you don't use it, it may as well be taken away. No freedom is any stronger than your use of it. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
That's me, yeah. Mark from Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah, Mark.
Yes, I'd like to say hello to you and your guests.
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Go ahead.
Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Yeah, well, my comment is that, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the New World Order having this scheme where they're going to fake a UFO sighting and use it as an excuse to bring in the New World Order. The premise would be, well, you know, we all have a common enemy now, you know? And you just have to wonder, you know, you have all of these documentaries constantly on television, on the History Channel, constantly, you know, these movies coming out, and, you know, it's like UFOs all over the place, you know, and then you have Ed Mitchell coming out, and you have the Pope coming out and saying, you know, it's okay to believe in UFOs, and you have Ed Mitchell now, and, you know, it's just something that make you go, you know, could it be that they're just slowly and slowly preparing people for the idea of extraterrestrials so they could pull this stunt off, you know?
What do you think about that, Nick?
Well, this is one of the interesting things. You know, like I say, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I need to make that clear to your audience so they don't misunderstand where I'm coming from. However, I'm aware of what the caller's talking about. I know exactly where you're coming from. And this is something called Project Bluebeam. And, you know, it goes under different names, but that's the best term to look on Google. And what's interesting about this is, firstly, I do not believe that Dr. Mitchell is part of that. The reason that I don't believe that is because the interview that we set up with him was on the subject of walking on the moon, as I said right at the beginning of the show. So we got him on, we're talking to him about walking on the moon. In fact, if you again go back to the original interview, none of the subsequent interviews, but the one that we did, if you go back to that original interview, I give him opportunities to talk about this kind of thing. I'm joking to him saying, you know, how would you have felt if the door had opened and you'd come out of the spaceship there and there'd been E.T. waving at you going, how's it going? You know, he at no point gets involved in any conversation about that kind of stuff. So were he being primed to make that announcement on our show, he would have dived in with it earlier. It comes about as a consequence of, you know, a lot of casual chatting and a good solid hour-long conversation. And you'll notice the clip is in a very conversational style. I checked, he knew that he was on the record. So I don't think Dr. Mitchell would be part of that, but as I said right at the beginning of the show, I was aware of these theories, and we'd had a guy on called Stuart Swerdlow who had spoken to me about something called Project Bluebeam and the theory that we're currently seeing imprinting. We're currently seeing this idea of UFOs being planted in the mind of the world.
All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, I'll give my thoughts on that for the caller. And I think you already will know my thoughts. I think we've already talked about them previously, but I'll do it. We'll be back right after this. All right, we are back. The telephone line is open at 1-623-581-5148. 623-581-5148, and we'll be glad to take your calls if you have a question or you have a comment. Now, my comment
on the previous caller about the possibility that we're being set up for, and the term that's used a lot here, is a false flag operation, where there will be a fake UFO invasion, and the purpose, the way that theory goes, usually, is that the purpose for that is so that they, whoever they are, and when you ask who are you talking about, the answer I get is the powers that be. Okay. There are many powers that be, but the answer is that I'm usually given so that they can create fear, shock, and fear, and then use that as an excuse to impose martial law. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I can see the future, but I am going to tell you that I can see trends, and the trends are based upon not people putting forth theories, but upon actual actions being taken. So let's talk about the actions that are being taken. The actions that are being taken is that apparently, and it's pretty well settled, I think, that there was a meeting at the United Nations building in New York City, February the 12th. At that meeting, it was a briefing led by U.S. military personnel Pentagon liaison, and they briefed 30 to 40 countries on extraterrestrial reality and the need to acclimate the world's population to the fact that it is a reality. Having said that about the meeting, look at the actions that have been taken since then. Just a few days later, the chief astronomer for the Vatican came out with that statement that, you know, if you think that extraterrestrials exist, it's quite all right. It's not contrary to Christian teachings. It's not contrary to the Bible. It's not contrary to the church. It's okay. And within that same period of time, you had the MOD in the UK saying, we're going to release all of our UFO files. It'll take us about 3 years to get them all out there, but we're going to do it. And then you had a general in South America, I believe it was either Peru or perhaps Brazil, that stepped up and said, you know what? The time for disclosure is now. The government has got to stop covering this up. And then you had the Romanian defense ministry, all of this within, you know, about a 2 or 3 week period, the Romanian defense ministry releasing a video taken from the cameras on board one of their fighter jets that collided with a UFO. And it's just been a cascade of information, and it continues to come. When you look at that and say, okay, this is all of this is evidence of something. What is it evidence of? Well, it's not evidence of trying to pull off a shock and fear operation. If you want to shock people, if you want to instill fear, you let it hit them full in the face without any warning. So I don't buy the theory that there's going to be a false flag operation. I understand the theory. I understand why people think it might happen, and I think it will not. Now, if I'm wrong, we'll all find out on the same day. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Mark from Nashport, Ohio.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. Nick, I wondered if you had ever heard of Charles Hall.
No, I haven't. Charles Hall, no.
Charles Hall would probably be a great person for you to interview on your show. I'm sure that Kevin could elaborate on that as well. Charles Hall was a weather observer in the United States Air Force from 65 to 67 at Indian Springs, Nevada. According to Charles, a large black titanium mothership would land at Dogbone Lake every 2 weeks near Area 54 and then move into the side of a mountain where the aliens were dug in. Charles has written 4 books about his experiences in the Area 51 through 54 complex. Charles claims that he interacted with a group of individuals he calls the Tall Whites that he believes are from the planet, from a planet somewhere near the star Arcturus. Charles is now a nuclear physicist and a software developer. He's very intelligent, articulate, and I believe he would leave little doubt in your mind that his experiences were real.
Yeah, let me add to that. He has a very high security clearance, and he is one of the individuals. There aren't many. There's just a handful who does work on the Cray computers, the supercomputers.
Well, I've made a note of this guy, Charles Hall. I mean, one of the things, like I said, I did read out the email address, my email address earlier on. If people do want to contact me with stuff, this is something that, like you said yourself, Kevin, this is a story that hasn't sort of ended here, it's begun. And there's so many people to talk to on this subject who are interesting, to say the least, when they do start talking about it. Charles Hall, made a note of it.
All right, and after the show, I will be happy to forward his contact information to you. He is a fascinating individual. I've met him in person, and he is as fascinating and charming in person as he is when you interview him via the telephone. He's a very interesting individual. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Paul from New York.
Yes, Paul.
Nick, I was just wondering, I'm sure you've heard of Dr. Richard Hoagland and his theories about structures on the moon and on Mars, and I was just wondering if Dr. Mitchell mentioned that there were structures or any kind of artifacts that he saw while he was on the moon.
Right, I see. No, he didn't. During the main interview, It's a strange thing to say, you know, but it was an almost unremarkable interview about going to the moon, if you can imagine such a thing. I mean, I was amazed to be talking to someone who'd walked on the moon. However, there was nothing particularly remarkable about it. It was only afterwards, when we were just generally chatting, the slightly more extreme stuff came out. And like I said, I do check with him. If you hear the original interview, I do check with him that he knows he's on record, because I've got quite a friendly manner and we were just chatting. And sometimes, you know, occasionally we'll have guests on who will say things who subsequently don't want to go on record with it. That was an option available to Dr. Mitchell. It's not one he took. But yeah, when we talked about the moon, pretty unremarkable.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you for the call. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 623-581-5148, 623-581-5148. We're talking with Nick, and Nick, say your last name for me.
Majerison.
Majerison.
That's how I say it.
All right, Nick Majerison. He is the host of a very popular show on Kerrang Radio out of the U.K., and he is the one who was interviewing Dr. Edgar Mitchell when Dr. Mitchell made those very bold and fairly startling statements. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Mike calling from the Southeast United States.
All right.
This is Mike Mott. How are you doing?
Oh, okay, Michael Mott.
Hey.
William Michael Mott, what's on your mind this evening, sir?
Not much. I spoke to Nick about, about a week and a half ago, before this all broke, and of course my take on it is a little bit different than a lot of people's, but I just wanted to see how Nick's holding up to all the scrutiny.
do you know what, Mike? It's great to hear you again. Yeah, it's strange. We are right in the middle of a giant worldwide story, and I'll be honest with you, I can't remember, Mike, if I spoke to you before we went public with this stuff or not. You'll have to forgive me. I've got, as you remember, I've got a terrible memory. But I remember when we had this information and we hadn't gone public with it, it was a strange period for me because I am not a conspiracy theorist, and I do not, I certainly didn't necessarily believe in this kind of stuff, but I'm interested in it. And having had a guy like, Dr. Mitchell talk to you about this kind of thing in such a meat and potatoes way, such a very frank, open, and straightforward fashion, left me in a very strange headspace. And so I was, I felt alone in knowing that we're not alone for a while. And then when we hit the airwaves with this story and the huge media blitz that followed and the number of different contacts we had from different media organizations and people, that was definitely a strange period. But it's good to have a good team around you of people who can keep you a bit level-headed. And also, because we're a very mainstream show here in the UK, and because we take calls and stuff, we had a lot of sort of level-headed comment coming in from people who ordinarily probably wouldn't necessarily come into contact with this subject. So it's been quite nice and grounding just to have the show readjust a little bit, if that makes sense.
Well, I'd like the fact that that Kerrang Radio has all of a sudden become sort of a worldwide name, and at least some people, most people, I guess, are crediting you and the show, which is nice. I see a few people haven't credited you guys with this, but I guess you know that Mitchell has made these sorts of claims before, and I believe there's something to the phenomenon. My personal take is that this is probably a very ancient terrestrial civilization that long ago branched out into the solar system and is still in the neighborhood. But, at the same time, I think you guys have really handled this well.
Yeah, it's a strange thing. I mean, obviously I know Mike, and he's been on the show, so he knows the deal. And for some of your audience, Kevin, it will be strange because the show we do, although we cover this sort of material, I'm very much a mainstream broadcaster, and I'm a populist. And so it's quite a strange thing to have hit with this story in such a style. And again, yeah, I was aware that Edgar Mitchell had spoken about this kind of thing before, and I had an inkling that it might happen, but it wasn't what we were pursuing. So it's a strange position to have, for me to find myself in. And what I'm trying to do is use this spotlight of publicity to say to the powers that be, in my instance, the Queen of England and the Prime Minister Gordon Brown, make a statement about this. You can't ignore this story. I'm doing interviews with the national media, then the media here in America and across the world about this subject, and my message is very clear. Make some sort of statement. Take control of this story, because at the moment we have a tsunami of ideas which are unleashed, which are demonstrated by some of the calls that we've had earlier on and some of the ideas that are in my email inbox. I mean, it's staggering the number of possibilities that have been opened by Dr. Mitchell's comments.
Yeah. In the absence of a clear message, any message can take the stage, and usually does. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, Kevin. This is Steve from Texas.
Yeah. Now, Steve, let me tell you, we're right on the cusp of a break. Go ahead and ask your question. The break will likely take over, and we'll answer your question afterward.
Well, it was just more of an observation. I think that the information that's out there that Edgar Mitchell has released, I think that that's going to bring about some information in the UFO phenomenon, into the public realm. But I think that the main meat of the UFO phenomenon would be the technology part of it, and I think that that information will not be released based upon the proprietary, I would say, information that wants to be held onto by the United States as the, the primary holders of that type of information. I don't see that information being released to the public, but I do see the information being released concerning the existence of UFOs and UFO phenomena. But
okay, thanks for the call. We're into the break. I agree with you. We'll be back right after this.
was overdue. I wanna hear it from you. It's a lie, it's a lie, I know it's true. It's a lie, it's a lie, I know it's true. It's a lie, it's just a lie. Till I hear it from you. It's a lie. That I do, the broken promises I said I'd keep, and buried me too deep.
We are back, and we're on final approach here.
We have time for one more, maybe two more calls. 623-581-5148. Again, 1-623-581-5148. Nick, sort of off topic a little bit, I noticed in the material that I received from your producer that you don't screen your callers.
Yeah, we have a section of the show where we take calls straight to air. What we also do as well is, within the restrictions that we have here in the UK, largely people can talk about whatever they want. So, you know, we'll take calls. Like I say, the show that I do is a mainstream show. It's got a big audience, and it covers a broad subject range, but you know, at the moment, well, for certainly for the last few days, we've had nothing but non-stop UFO calls, and like I say, a tsunami of ideas has been unleashed.
Well, I don't know if you're aware, I don't screen calls here either, and it works out very well, largely, but I don't screen calls. I tried that. I used to be with a network that insisted that I get a call screener. So I said, okay, we'll do it. So we did for, about a week, maybe 2 weeks, just a few days. And then I told the network that I simply was not going to do it anymore. And I didn't like it. And they had to live with it. Now, I'll tell you why. I think, for instance, we open the telephone lines for the second hour, and we'll get 150 to 200 calls. I cannot, in an hour, there is no way I can put every one of those on the air. So I think when we've got that many calls coming in, if you finally get your call in, and the telephone is ringing, and I push the button for you to be on hold until I bring you on the air. I think you deserve to say what you wanted to say. And, you know, it's not all that easy to get in. And if you do, you deserve not to be screened out by a screener. And yeah. And it also makes the show more spontaneous and sometimes spicy.
If I can just go on record with this, Kevin, I mean, one of the things that I said is we were approached by a lot of different people for interviews. One of the things that we really admired about your show is that you don't particularly follow an agenda. Listen, I don't know if you ever refer to your show as a program. I've certainly not heard you doing that. But
no, it's a show.
Maybe the case. Yeah, you know, and that's something that people in the UK don't really understand that. But in the UK, I think possibly we stand alone on the night before on Kerrang in that we do a show. We do not do a program. And those words are very significant to me in that what we attempt to do is show people what's going on rather than program them to a specific point of view or a specific line. And you'll notice during the conversation that we've had, I've been very careful to avoid tying myself to any particular ideology or any particular take on this stuff. And there's a reason for that, and that's because I think people should be allowed to make their own decisions. The only thing that I'm really pushing for on your show, and certainly on the other shows that I've appeared on, is for people to take this into their own hands, not to be afraid of the consequences of standing up and saying, right, we want some disclosure and we want the truth. You know, we want that to happen as soon as possible. And let me also refer you back to the interview that we did with Dr. Mitchell. He confirmed to us that he did not think safety was a concern anymore. And as I say, if you go back and listen to the original interview, his comments are fascinating when he does talk about personal safety. And I'm aware that some people feel like they're taking their safety into their own hands when they step into this kind of arena. But what I'm saying is, you know, here in the UK, I've shone the spotlight of publicity onto Gary McKinnon's case as loudly and clearly as I can. Then we've tried to shine as much publicity onto Dr. Mitchell's comments, and we ended up getting, you know, worldwide attention on it. What I'm trying to say is that people need now to understand that when you listen to the radio, I mean, they're listening to me and you talking now, it's not the case anymore that we should just be a listener. We should be someone who interacts directly with what's happening, and that's happening with the internet. This interview has spread, you know, millions of people across the world have listened to Dr. Mitchell's comments now, and I think a lot of that is down to simple people power. You know, people like yourself and the other shows that we cooperated on with to get this story out there. It's a triumph for the UFO movement, for the people who want to get the truth out, that this story has got the kind of attention that it has. I don't think it would have done maybe 6-7 years ago when the internet wasn't at the stage that it is. We wouldn't have got that kind of attention, I don't think.
I think that's true. Now, our show is this show began as an internet-only show. I had no choice. I was in Kosovo, and there were no English-speaking radio stations. So I began this show as internet-only. It is now not internet-only. We're on the internet, and that's great because that puts us worldwide. But we're also on AM, FM, shortwave. Lord, I don't know even all of the places that are carrying the show. And so, you know, it's grown to beyond internet, but it is still largely an internet show. And the internet has made it possible for information to flow. And you pointed out that we don't have an agenda on this show. It has been that way from the beginning. I have no agenda except I have a goal. The goal is that the shows must be interesting and informative. And that's it. And as long as they're interesting and informative, we have achieved what we planned to achieve for the evening. I'd like for you to give...
I've gone some way to help you with that.
I'm sorry?
I hope I've gone some way to help you with that tonight.
Well, you certainly have. I would like for you to give, again, the two bits of information. The web address for your show, and then also your email address.
Okay, well, if people want to email me personally, they can, and we try and read as many as we can, but the email intake is at an all-time high at the moment, nick@kerrangradio.co.uk, and Kerrang is spelt K-E-R-R-A-N-G. It's all one word, kerrangradio.co.uk. That's nick@kerrangradio.co.uk. And then you can find all of the information, the original interview, also the disclosure podcast I mentioned that we're working on at the moment. All of that is available on the kerrangradio.co.uk website. And again, Kerrang, K-E-R-R-A-N-G radio.co.uk. And like I say, if you don't want the information broadcast that you send to us, please mark that. Please make that clear, but we are fine with that, and we're sitting on an interesting package of stuff, some of which would only be released in the instance of an emergency.
All right. Well, Nick, I want to thank you, first of all, for what you did in getting the information to the world about this fabulous interview. Thank you for doing the interview, but thank you for getting the information to the world about the interview. I also want to thank you for being on the show this evening. It's been fabulous. I know we started at 3 a.m. It's now close to 5 a.m. where you are, and it's been a bit of a sacrifice for you to be up and do this, but thank you for doing it. I wish you all the best.
Listen, thanks for letting me on the show. It's been great fun, and me and the producer are going to kick back, have some beers. I think it's a rock station. That's how we roll. We're cool with it.
All right. My guest, Nick, and I'll let you say your name.
Majerison.
Majerison, okay.
Whatever you say.
Nick Majerison, fellow host. Different kind of a show, but they cover some of the same topics, and I think doing a great job in the UK, originating from Birmingham in the UK, and I know there are a lot of our listeners that are your listeners. Again, Nick, thank you.
If you will, just stay on the line with me for just a moment. All right, folks, that wraps it up for this edition of the Kevin Smith Show. I was just looking at the computer to confirm. Tomorrow night, my guest is Robert Felix. You want to be sure you're here. And we're going to be talking with him about climate change. He has been a bit of a rebel, but tens of thousands of scientists have now signed on to the very same things that he says in his book, Not by Fire, but by Ice. All right, folks, tomorrow evening is the next time we do the Kevin Smith Show. So you be sure and be here. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.